At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Who wants to tell him it started an hour ago?
It still starts now. Coming out of a break.
No, it still doesn't start now. It started 64 minutes ago.
All right, let's change it.
I think I like Nerdy Branham better than Nitpick Branham.
They're both fully here today.
At least it's not
I'm in a mood.
At least it's not as bad as Friday.
The Texans offense has me in a mood. And the conversation about the Texans offense has me in a mood. What did I do Friday?
The
I don't even want to say
Oh,
it.
I was right about that.
We
the
did.
Text line backed me up on that.
Oh, yeah, you're going to hang your hat on that?
They never backed me up.
Yeah, well, Maeve backed us up. So we did come up with a compromise.
Oh, what's the compromise?
Remember?
No,
so,
I don't.
You
know, I thought you, okay, you were talking about what you said on Friday. I thought you guys had said something yesterday.
So, no, we have not discussed this yet. So we will agree to your terms of picking the underdog has to win outright.
Genius.
If the dinner, if you lose, is for a Brazilian steakhouse.
Why are we changing the value of mine? That
because,
makes no sense.
Because we outvote you. So if you want it your way, your bet has to go up.
That makes no sense.
We so agreed.
I'm putting more with me.
Of course he did.
That doesn't necessarily make it right.
Well, you're
majority opinion doesn't mean right opinion.
Your back make you right.
Well, the text line's smarter than y'all.
Oh, okay.
That's better than the Twitch. Sorry, guys.
How am I on the hook for more than y'all?
Because we're going
you want
to
change
your
the
way.
Terms when we already started.
No, I'll just play with y'all's stupid game. I'll play. I'm not putting more on the line because my terms. Why would I give up value? That's ignorant.
You went 3-0 this weekend. Good job.
That's because I know ball.
That was the worst part of
this. Famously no ball.
I know. I'm not putting more on the line than y'all
just because it's my rules. I'm not going to surrender value that way. Do you know nothing about me? I wouldn't give up value for free.
Oregon screwed, man. That one should have come through.
To be fair, both of your guys' underdogs did win outright.
That's how it should be done. Although mine needed a penalty.
No, they
didn't.
My underdog was Tennessee. They should have won.
Oh, that's right.
They blew it.
Mine were the Colts, and they needed that fluke penalty at the end, the leverage penalty. So there is that. Guy. What's his name?
Seth.
Seth DeFlo. Seth DeFlo, and then he has like a last name too. But he goes by DeFlo, and he's like the worst.
I hope he legally changes his last name to DeFlo.
So the text line's asking us what Stroud's good at. What do you think Stroud is good at?
Honestly, I would say accuracy, but I feel like that's hard to make that argument after the last 2 weeks. I feel like he's an accurate quarterback.
Yeah.
But it's hard to make that argument after some of the things we saw in the Buccaneers. So I'll still say he's accurate. I don't, you know what, Jeremy? I don't know.
That really almost has to become like, what was he good at in year one?
I know,
because
like,
all the things he was good at in year one have kind of slowly faded away for various reasons. Because
I want to say poised, you know?
Or like in year one, he was good at anticipating throws. I don't see that now.
No, he's not a great anticipator anymore. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think most of it's
been
beaten
out of
the offensive
line.
It's
been beaten out of him.
Maybe he doesn't trust the play calling, a little timid. Because remember, he didn't throw a whole lot of interceptions, so you're playing with confidence. Like, I'm never going to throw an interception. Then you throw a couple, and you're like, oh, I'm always going to throw an interception.
Hell, even his first interception he threw, there was a fumble, and they recovered it.
I forgot about that against the Saints.
Like, so the deep ball, I think, is still there, proven on the first series, where there was still a great catch by Nico to get both feet in. But I think the deep ball is still part of it, of what he's good at, but the other stuff I don't know if he's good at them anymore. I don't know if he's a good accurate quarterback. I think he's deficient in that area.
Okay, so where I think he's where he excels in and where I think he's really good is the quick game. Take the ball, three-step drop, throw the ball. That's why I get bothered and annoyed. He needs to run the ball more. No, he needs to run it less. I think that he got it in his mind, and it might have been Joe Mixon, because I remember Joe Mixon last offseason was like, hey, man, you can run more. And I think that he was like, okay, yeah, I can play make. Maybe I should play make more. And all of a sudden, he becomes this quarterback who's hanging on to the ball trying to make magic happen when his strength is ball placement, accuracy, and getting rid of the football quick. That's why it worked in year one with Bobby. Bobby had him throwing a bunch of quick passes. Where was his best ball was the post to Nico, or deep slant, whatever you want to call it. He actually threw it in the game on Monday night. Where it was, I think it was the first pass he completed to Nico in the second half. Little deep post, 15 yards, got the ball in the gun, three-step drop, boom! It's there. That's where he excels. Timing, precision. Those were Slowik terms. Timing, precision, on time, quick. That's where he's at his absolute best. And right now, he's not doing that for a variety of reasons. Did he get it beaten out of him because of the offensive line? Probably. Is Nick Caley dialing that up for him on a consistent basis? Probably not. Is he trying to play make more than just, hey, I'm going to be on time, efficient, get rid of the ball. We're going to move the ball methodically down the field. Some of it is on him, too. There was a couple of plays in that game, because I went back and watched the film, where he's locked in on his first read for way too long, and he's missing. Like, you saw the Nico Collins drag. On that same play, Dalton Schultz is wide, wide open, wide open in the flat. The two-point conversion. And I understand that he had pressure right in his face immediately. Jalen Knowles, wide open. So he's like locking in on his progressions. Is that because of the offense? Is that because he's trying to play make? Is that because the offensive line's bad? All of the above. That's why I get bothered. Well, Stroud's good. Stroud's bad. Oh, it's the offensive line's fault. Oh, it's Kaylee's fault. It's all bad. All of it.
And that's
bad.
And that's where when it comes to like, what is he good at? It's hard to really.
I think it's quick game. Quick game. Quick, quick, quick. That's why I don't think that a Patriots offense suits him. It's why I think like the 49er quarterback-friendly offenses suit him better. And you're going to point to Slowik, but I'll point to Slowik too. Slowik's the best NFL offensive coordinator he's ever had.
Yeah, but Brady was good in the quick game. Like outside
because
of...
Outside
of the Moss season, like...
But why was Brady good at the quick game? Brady was great at the quick game because, one, he knew the defense before the defense lined up.
Yeah.
Secondly, he had a really good idea at the snap what the defense was going to do. Third, the immediate post snap, he saw the defense, he saw it all in front of him, all unfold, and he was such a quick thinker, he knew where to go with the ball. He didn't go through progressions. The defense is here, the hole's there, I'm throwing there. It wasn't here's progression one, here's progression two, here's progression three. No, the best quarterbacks, Brady, Manning, Breeze, they sit back, they look at the defense, the hole in this defense is here, and they think like this. They think incredibly quick. Go listen to Brady talk, it's awesome. They think quick. Oh, I got a cover too. I know to go there. Oh, I got man coverage. I know to go there. I got a zone. I know what beats that. Do you think Stroud's doing that?
No.
Boom. That's why Patriots style is not suited for CJ Stroud. And whoever thought it was should probably lose their job. It's a bad fit.
Even if it was D'Amico? Because I know it feels like a Nick Caserio.
Who's more important to this organization, D'Amico or Stroud?
Stroud.
That's my answer.
Stroud is absolutely more important than
now. D'Amico wouldn't. It'd be probably Caserio. It'd be one and done for Caley. It'd be D'Amico cleaning house. This is my ship now. Where there's been some kind of Caserio. How much does he have to say? All that. It's a bad fit. It's a bad fit. Like the Patriots' offense is not quarterback friendly. It's not. Like it's complex. It's changing things at the line. It's reading the defense, pre snap, post snap, all of it. It's not quarterback friendly. What do you hear about the Shanahan system? It is quarterback friendly. They make things easy for the quarterback. Easy throws, quick game, easy buttons, like Mina Kimes said, all of that. Do you think C.J. Stroud needs quarterback friendly? Or do you think C.J. Stroud needs the most complex offense in the history of the game?
Do you think Nick Caley makes it through the season?
I don't get the point of firing him in season. Like, I mean, Bill Lazor, Gerard Johnson, I mean, you're not really changing the scheme. If you were to fire him midseason, I don't think it really helps you. I don't get the point of doing that.
And the problem is you don't have someone that can come in and really coach them, honestly. I mean, is Bill Lazor, he's the only guy with experience. He's the only guy that can come in and say, okay, he's going to be our offensive coordinator that has NFL play calling experience, but this isn't his offense. This isn't what he ran.
No, and it's hard to do
this
that.
This is nothing. Like
I mean,
he
what
ran
are you going to do that in week 14? Like, okay, we're going to change completely our scheme. You can't. Like, you're pot committed.
No,
like,
you're not.
If you're doing that, it's just a signal that we're moving on in the offseason, telling the fan base, hey, this was really bad. We're letting you know that we're moving directions and we're going to change the scheme again this offseason. That's what it's more of a symbol than anything that's actually tangible to fixing the product. Because that late in the year, you can't change anything.
You'd have to, honestly, if you were ever going to consider making a change at any point in this season, you probably have to start 0-5 and do it at the bye week.
Yeah, and they're not doing that.
And they're not doing that.
And
right?
Even then, 2 weeks to learn a new scheme? Good luck.
Well, that's why it can't even be a whole new scheme. It just has to be play. It's little changes that they can make. But then those little changes should be able to be made anyways. That's why if Nick Caley is a disaster, if Bill Lazor, if Gerard Johnson, if there are things that they can do better that in theory as they took over as the offensive coordinator would be improved, they should be able to be improved now. Like they should have a voice in the room. Like, hey, this is where it's not going well. You check your offensive coordinator. This is what C.J. Stroud does well. And that's really, I think, the ultimate question is, does Nick Caserio and does D'Amico Ryans have an understanding of what C.J. Stroud actually needs?
I think they're learning.
I think the answer is no right now.
I think they might have gotten their answers in the first two games. Like, we heard after the first week, like, hey, they're slow to the line of scrimmage. Like, is that – I mean, you can point your finger at a lot of different people as to why you're late in the line – like, to the line of scrimmage. Like, the play's coming in late. You're getting the play late. You're leaving the huddle late. Most of the reasons of getting to the line of scrimmage late, it falls on the quarterback. Most of it, unless they're just getting the play late, which kind of like – I don't – that seems like the most unbelievable. Like, Kaylee's late getting the play in? Like, eh. I mean, I understand first time is a regular season play caller, but – I don't know about that. And he had off. He's called plays in the preseason. Like, are we blaming? Who are we blaming for getting to the line late? I think it's a quarterback issue.
I think it's a both issue.
Maybe.
I would imagine it can't be one guy because I know they said it was improved in this game, but in the second half of the game, it didn't seem to be as
okay. So improved. Let's just go with that. Like, let's go with that. Okay, what did we hear after week two? D'Amico, outside of like putting a ball out of bounds when it was open, outside of D'Amico directly taking a shot at C.J. Stroud on a poorly thrown football, it was the lack of communication at the line, which C.J. Stroud's like, oh, there wasn't a lack of communication at the line. D'Amico doubled down, said, yeah, there's a lack of communication. Who was that fall on?
No one knows the answer.
Well.
Because we think it's C.J. Stroud, but is he calling checks at the line? Like, they haven't told us directly.
They did. They told us that all offseason. He told us that. Stroud did.
No,
Stroud's like, I'm going to have more control. I'm going to be able to check out of things, get us into different coverages. I went and watched the All-22 last night. He checked out, I think, of three plays I saw him do. I know that he did in week one at least one because he checked in and went into the quarterback sneak, which did give him the first down. So I think these are quarterback issues.
Yeah, but then if they're not getting the line of scrimmage, whether it's Kaylee or it's C.J. Stroud's fault, you can't also then adjust when you need to. Like, part of the thing with back to the Patriots here is Tom Brady – He had plenty of time. They were at the line of scrimmage for quite a while to where they're moving stuff. He's identifying stuff. If you're getting to the line of scrimmage with 10 seconds left in the clock, you're not making any changes. All you have is your play. You have no option to change pass protection, to change a hot route, to change to a running play. Like, that has to be fixed. And what's discouraging about that is that's something you worked on all offseason, is that through two games, the operation of the offense is this clunky. No matter whose fault it is, it's a problem that I don't also now know how in regular season with limited practice time, how you flip and correct.
That's why I think it's a bad fit for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
I don't think Patriots way is in the best interest of C.J. Stroud.
Is there an offense?
I think he needs to be in a quarterback-friendly. Yeah, there are. I mean, the McVay offense is good. I think that might have been the allure for D'Amico. Maybe he was fooled. Look, Shanahan, like, let's not, like, we bash binary Bobby. I get it. Like, it was not good last year. I think he was good at drawing up a game plan, not good at adjusting, which maybe it wasn't his fault. C.J. Stroud led the NFL in passing yardage per game in his rookie season with Bobby Slowick as his offensive coordinator. Let's not ignore that was an accomplishment for Bobby Slowick. That was a feather in Bobby Slowick's cap. No doubt about it. So let me ask yourself, like, do you prefer C.J. Stroud in a quarterback-friendly offense or in a quarterback – or in an offense, rather, that's sophisticated and complex?
Quarterback-friendly.
I just – he does a lot of things great. I think he's great. His potential – yes, the first throw he threw to Nico. That's a 40-yard throw in the bucket, flick of the wrist.
Yep.
Unbelievable. There's not many guys in the world that can make that throw. Not many in the world. These anticipation throws that C.J. Stroud was making his rookie year, there is not many guys in the world that can make those throws. So why aren't they doing that stuff more and the stuff that he struggles with less? In the hiring of Nick Caley, did the opposite. Mm-hmm. It took away his strengths and is magnifying his weaknesses.
I think that's why, like, if we had to bet on it right now, I'd bet on there being an offensive coordinator change for the Houston Texans.
I think he's going to be, again, I have no reason to be confident in Nick Caley. What has he proven to me? I think, and look, a lot can change, and maybe I'm going to sound very foolish here in the next month.
I hope
maybe
so.
They figured. I do too.
Stupid.
Me too. I hope that in a month from now we're looking back and be like, oh, you remember how stupid we sounded before they got Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios and they figured out their struggles? I hope that happens. Because right now, after two games, I think Nick Caley's one and done.
Yep. I think Nick Caley's one and done, and if I had to put money on it as well today, because you want to make quarterback friendly, easiest transition as possible. I know it hasn't gone great recently. I would still bet on Mike McDaniels being the next offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, why'd you put an S to that?
Oh, there's no S on that one? Is he just the McDaniel?
You struggle with the S's at the end there.
Is he just the Mike McDaniel?
I'm pretty sure it's Mike McDaniel.
I think it is Mike McDaniel, yeah.
I can't remember. Some of these guys have S's, some of them don't.
See, that's fine.
If I was going to bet on it today, he's out, McDaniel in.
Like, I don't want McDaniel to be my head coach because I don't believe in quirky head coaches building a culture. But him as my offense coordinator, sign me up.
Doesn't this just highlight, look, and I love DeMeco. I'm not advocating for anything here with DeMeco. But doesn't this just highlight what we've talked about before DeMeco was hired about the problem of hiring a defensive-minded head coach? That if you're drafting a QB high, you want a guy like a Kevin O'Connell. You want a guy like a Sean McVay. You want an offensive head coach so that the offensive coordinator, the system they're running, the terminology, everything isn't changing every 1 to 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, we had this exact conversation yesterday. That's why I was chuckling, because like the exact names too. Because I made the comparison, like even if Kevin O'Connell and DeMeco Ryans are tied for their side of the ball, right? Let's call it their coaching prowess. They're both a 9 out of 10 on their side of the ball, right? Kevin O'Connell's a 9 out of 10 offensive mind. DeMeco Ryans is a 9 out of 10 defensive mind. Let's call it a wash. But because O'Connell has the most important position in all of sports, that breaks the tie over the defensive guy because he doesn't have the most important position in sports. No, I think it's a great point.
And honestly, when you look at the history of the NFL, how many coaches get 3 offensive coordinators? Like what the Texans would be doing here would be very surprising.
Especially 3 and 4 years. We're not talking about Mike Tomlin coaching for 25 years and he hires 3.
Yeah, Bill Belichick.
It's 3 and 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, even Harbaugh said like, what, 2? He said Greg Roman and who he has now in Baltimore.
Not many. Probably very few.
Yeah, so but that's where it feels like this is heading in this moment, is that this isn't going to be a marriage that works, and you're not going to bail on C.J. Stroud.
Like, no, you shouldn't. He's too good to bail on. I know that it sounds like I'm really talking down about C.J. Stroud. It's not so much about Stroud the talent. It's more about what they've put around Stroud. I think they've done a very poor job of, one, protecting him, and then, two, hiring people that lift him up. Like, it feels to me more that they hired somebody that's deflating him as opposed to inflating him.
It's not a C.J. Stroud all. It's not all a failure on C.J. Stroud. It is an organizational failure from Stroud to Jerod Johnson to Slowick / Caley to DeMeco to Casario to Bill Lazor, whoever, Ben McDaniels, like whoever is on the staff. It is an organizational issue that they didn't correct this offseason.
No.
And part of the reason why I think the frustration with all of this is valid is the only thing that changed was Caley. Why is Bill Lazor still here?
Well, I mean, if Bobby Slowick was the coordinator of the first two games, they would have more success than they currently do.
I agree.
And like, they would argue, well, that's the learning curve. That's part of the new offense. And yeah, we expected that. But then come week 13, week 14, Stroud's going to take this offense to levels we've never seen. Okay, let's see. Let's see. Prove it to us. Because the struggles have been there. That's been real. That is tangible. We're seeing it. And hopefully they score 40 points in Jacksonville. Stroud throws for 450, and a lot of this is like forgiven. And, oh, Bad Take Boulevard. We'll see. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Israel, you're in with the Jays. What's up?
What up? Y'all funny. But look, CJ, man, don't want to be like Tom Brady. The quarterback position have changed. Brady's been retired. That's over with. You got now Patrick. Patrick is not like Brady. Hurts is not like Brady. It's a different thing. They put it up Hurts. He threw like 100 yards, 200 yards, whatever this and that for the last 5 games. But what, he got a chip? And he also is winning. It's all about winning. That the pocket quarterback like that, throwing 300, 400 yards, is over with. Because the defensive linemen are faster. You got to do both. You got to be dual on this. You got to be like Allen. You got to be like Lamar. You got to be like Patrick. You got to be like Hurts. Brady, that's over with. So the unathletic guy who can't move,
It's over with. And Brady used to do it too on a low. And it's not like Brady used to light it up with 400 yards here, 400 yards there. It was a team effort with Brady. And they gifted him one in Seattle when they didn't run my man for the 1 yard touchdown. So that Brady stuff is over with. It's the dual threat now. Because if you can't run, you're not going to win.
And yeah, but he can't run.
What CJ do is win. Oh, what CJ do is win. Him and his coach. And they
well, he hasn't won with Kaylee, Israel. He's 0-2 with Kaylee. Like you're, I think you're proving the point.
It's only the second. And if they would go 3-for-3, I don't know how many coaches in their first year, the first 3 years, with the same, with a rookie, with the first 3 year quarterback, win 3 division titles. That's the goal. They're not going to win the Super Bowl right now. But that unathletic. That unathletic quarterback throwing for 400 yards like our boy Joe Burrow, who can't make the playoffs, it's over. It's a dual threat time. Now, unathletic will not win another Super Bowl. So I'm sorry, the time is over with.
He can't run, Israel.
Appreciate it, Israel. Like, you're kind of proving the point. Like, they hired a coordinator that's trying to make him like Brady.
Yes.
Like, they're taking their creativity out of it. They're running one of the fewest amount of play actions in the NFL. The motion's completely gone. Like, a lot of the guys that you mentioned are in offenses that have creativity, that have motions, that get things going. The Texans are running a Tom Brady offense, Israel. Mm-hmm. And, like, yes, that's why – and, like, your points about Stroud winning a division title 2 years, like, those are valid points. That's
no,
why
not.
I –
No, they're not. They're not.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they absolutely are.
But, like, at some point, like, can we raise the bar in this city? Like, it's such a loose – like, sorry. Like, it's – like, why can't the Astros be a model – for the Texans organization. Like, congratulations. You've won 2 division titles. They've won a bunch of division titles. They've won division titles with Deshaun Watson. They've won
division titles, Brian.
In playoff games with Brock Osweiler. Like, they've won before. They've gotten to the same point with C.J. Stroud that they've gotten with anyone else. He has won. Yes, Israel, it's a valid point that what D'Amico and C.J. have done in their first 2 years as a young rookie quarterback and a second-year quarterback, the same thing for a head coach, is impressive. But the bar has been raised by the way that they've played. I don't care that they've won playoff games. It's over. It's irrelevant. Get to your first AFC championship game. Get to a Super Bowl. Get better. They're going backwards. Like, you can't hang your hat on that forever. Like, at some point, you have to move forward with expectations.
Yeah, I think I agree with most of what you're saying, but I think they're 2 different points. Like, I'm with you. Let's raise the bar. Let's hold them in a higher regard. They have earned that because they have won 10 games in each of the last 2 years and won a division, which I know you're poo-pooing on. But I'm glad that they have Stroud and not Bryce Young.
Agreed.
Like, I'm glad that they have Stroud and not Caleb Williams. Like, I love the potential of C.J. Stroud. That is actually my frustration. If they had Bryce Young and they hired a bad offensive coordinator, they ran him into the ground, I wouldn't care because I never had hope for that quarterback. The frustration I have is because I believe in Stroud. I don't think they've done a good job of helping Stroud. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HR&P listener line. Chuck, you're in with the Jays. What's going on?
What's going on, guys? Can we just all hold the brakes a bit, man? It's like the second game of the season and a new offense. Regardless of whether it's the Patriots offense, Sean McVay's offense, asking C.J. Stroud to be like more like Tom Brady, y'all say it's not a strength. Actually, it might get him better if he has to look at the game like that every week and take his lumps. And let's just be a little patient with it. Nick Haley's not showing you anything different yet than a guy that's never coached or never called plays, only in the preseason with backup quarterbacks. Let the season play out, man. Listen, it's not going to be an overnight fix. I think Shroud's got a ton of potential. I don't think the bar should be South Division title. Let them work it out and let them get there. You'll know at the end of the year whether it's CJ, whether it's the play caller, or whether it's all three, including D'Amico. And that's it, guys. It's not Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady in year 3. Tom Brady was Tom Brady in year 10. Mm. He was known as a game manager to start off with. And, you know, let him play. Let him work it out. Let him get to where they got to get. Games have been tight. They're not getting blown out. The doors aren't getting beat off of them. Let them play the game and let them relax. I understand why Joe's a little upset because, well, you know, he's a Chicago fan.
Yeah, Caleb Williams, that's better than C.J. Stroud.
Appreciate you, Chuck. Appreciate you. Look, I mean, he's right in the sense of, like, let's see what it looks like at the end of the year. I don't disagree with you, Chuck.
I agree.
But it'd be a very boring show if we're like, hey, let's just see where it's at the end of the year, Joe. No, we have to give our opinions on how we feel at this very moment. So, Chuck, I would – not even a counterpoint. I would just ask you, after two games, how much confidence do you have in Nick Caley? And just answering for you and everybody else who I'm asking this question to, 713-780-3776, how could you have any confidence in him? What has instilled the confidence? Like, he has never called plays. He was under McVay, but he's not doing anything that McVay did. He comes from a Patriots system that hasn't had success outside of Tom Brady. So, like, where is the confidence coming from other than blind hope?
Especially, you ran off, like, a list of differences between the, you know, this year's offense and past offenses the Texans have had since D'Amico and Stroud got you put together in 2023. I think the most telling thing and the most frustrating thing of all those stats you brought up were how little they're using motion. Like, that is such a basic thing that is all, like, whenever you track the teams that are best of offense and worst at offense, it pretty much correlates with who's using motion most and who's using motion least. Now, there's obviously a lot of other factors, QB, play call, all that. But motion is such a big thing. I mean, especially if you're trying to make it easier for the quarterback. Boom. You motion across. Oh, it's zone. No one moved with the guy that motioned. It's zone. Someone runs across the field. He's in man. Like, give Stroud some answers before the ball's even snapped, so maybe he knows where he's going with it.
Even if it doesn't correlate in, like, offensive success, it correlates in giving you a better idea of what the defense is doing.
100%.
It's and so they're easy. Not helping him.
Yeah, especially something that's so easy. We're not asking you to split the atom to make the job for Stroud easier. Just motion your slot receiver over to the other side of the field, and boom, the offense improves.
Help your quarterback pre-snap at the very most basic level of it. Chuck, you also said, like, you know, maybe Stroud could needs to watch the game Brady does. I would also ask you, do you have confidence that C.J. Stroud can pick up pre-snap, at the snap, post-snap reading ability like Tom Brady?
Or if he has time to.
And then the last thing, like, and I get that Brady was a game manager early in his career. I have no pushback there. But he did win a Super Bowl in year two. As his first year as the real starter. He was a rookie in 2000, played in one game. He became the starter in 2001. And while they won that with mostly defense, Texans have a good defense. While they won that with mostly defense, let's not poo-poo that Tom Brady won a Super Bowl in his first year as a starter.
Yeah. And year
two in the
NFL. And his fourth
year. Yeah, let's not dismiss that. Like, C.J. Stroud's in his third year. And look, again, it sounds like I'm being very critical of C.J. Stroud. Most of this frustration are the things around C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. Because I do believe in C.J. Stroud. All right, 713-780-3776. Pete, we'll get to you on the other side. Everybody's got some thoughts on this. And also, we'll get to D'Amico. D'Amico said that Caley did some things better in week two than in week one. What were those things? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart has more than a half a billion items online. You can find a huge selection of items online that you can't find in store. And who knew that unlike other grocery stores, Walmart's grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. When my wife and I were talking about this move that we're about to do, I kind of am just kind of pro throw everything in the fridge that's out instead of trying to move everything over and just start new. Get a bunch of new groceries, and we're going to use Walmart to get all of that done. Just go out there, make your list, get everything you need right there online, and you can get it delivered in as fast as an hour. Fees and terms apply. Use Express Delivery. Get the eligible things you need from Walmart, from groceries to home goods to prescriptions, subject to availability. You can learn more at walmart.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Inside of the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-3776. Texture. Bring back Bobby.
That's not good. That's
football. It's football.
If you needed to win a game Sunday, which they do, I mean, you can't 0-3. Good luck. I think 0-2, only like, what, 18% of teams ever?
I believe it was 15.
15?
15-18. It's low.
But
sub 20.
Sub 20.
It is a little different now with the expanded playoffs.
Sure. Fair. I think it would be better to look at 0-2 since they added a game. That's that's a great point.
Thanks.
Great point.
Plus, they play in the South.
Yeah, but the Colts are a juggernaut.
I don't know if that matters this year.
Break
Joe.
Up the Colts.
I'm not. I can't.
They
do
got
it
the
yet.
Best offense in the NFL.
Indiana Jones,
Danny
is
Dimes,
it.
Vanilla just, Vic, Indiana Jones, whichever alter ego you want to go to.
I can't believe it.
They're
Danny
loaded,
Dimes.
Man.
They've got loaded. The weapons.
I wonder if Israel still thinks that Anthony Richardson's the guy there instead of Indiana Jones. I wonder how Israel feels about that one.
Yeah, that take was weird.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of his takes, especially the pocket. Well, the days of the pocket quarterback are over. It's like Nick Foles and Tom Brady won Super Bowls in the last five years.
So did Matt Stafford.
Keep in the last
LA.
5 years.
Keep from LA texted in. Don't forget about Stafford.
It's Stafford, Nick Foles, Tom Brady, all since, what, 2019?
Look, I do think Israel's onto something that you, like, some mobility is obviously very helpful.
Oh, of course.
It's obviously
course.
Very helpful. No, like, he said that Burrow wasn't mobile, though. Burrow's pretty damn mobile.
Yeah.
In fact, I think Stroud and Burrow are pretty similar in their mobility.
Yeah.
I think they're very, very close.
I mean, Mahomes and Stroud are not that different.
Mahomes isn't a great athlete, but he's got, like, wiggle. Like, he's a little bit shiftier. And he's also got some power. Like, he'll run some dudes over.
And I don't really want Stroud running. No. I think it's part of what I remember having the conversations when after Stroud played Georgia in the playoff and he was using his legs because it was a necessity. I was like, okay, like, there's something here. I want to see that running where it's, you know, you have to run, but it's very different than what he's doing now. Now it's the looking for a big play, moving out of the pocket versus Georgia. It was the line. It's collapsing.
And he's
on
more
him.
Escape. And
he's
through
escaping.
A gap.
Yeah. He's taking off because he has to use. That's what I want. Stroud. I want Stroud to only have to use his mobility. I don't want him to use mobility.
This is why I'm kind of annoyed, because I watched the All-22 yesterday and Stroud's doing things that frustrate me. He's not stepping into the pocket. He's not climbing the ladder, as they say. He's actually fading a lot of times. He's drifting backwards a lot of time, which is a terrible place to be as a quarterback. He's throwing from his back foot a lot of times. He's throwing, like, dream shakes from the pocket off of his heel, throwing fadeaways.
We know where that's from, though.
I love that.
I mean, why is a quarterback
bad offensive line play?
Yeah.
No, I get it. No, I get it. Again, this is mostly what the Texans have done to Stroud as opposed to Stroud this way. And I think it's fixable, but it's going to be hard if you don't trust your offensive line. He's quick to escape. He's not taking the singles. He's looking for the home runs. It's not great. it's not good. The Texans' offense has two guys in motion at the same time.
That was, like, that was tough.
Pee-wee stuff. Pee-wee
I forgot about
stuff.
That
irritates me. Two guys. I listened to D'Amico Ryans talk to Rock and Roll and John Harris on the little coaches show thing, which, you know, it is what it is. Like, they're going to give them some softballs. They have to. They get their checks written by the Texans. We know the business. We know how it works. We're not fools. And I don't blame them for that whatsoever. I do the same thing. D'Amico said that there was communication issues on the 4th and goal from the 1, saying that there was a guy in motion that shouldn't have been in motion. What?
Yeah, I don't understand how that's possible.
Did CJ send him in motion? I have to go back and watch the play.
Well, that's like this, if CJ sent him in motion, that's an issue with the wide receiver just, or whoever went in motion just went in motion. That's another issue in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like how, and that's where I guess, like, it is, it's early in a new offense, but, like, what's happening in the offseason? The install didn't seem to go very well.
Nope.
Like, it's
a carryover. I mean, we were hearing versions of this all throughout training camp. And we always took that as, oh, well, the defense is just great, and defenses are always ahead of the offenses during training camp and preseason. We expect that.
Yep.
So I think we were quick to dismiss it as being kind of the norm. But turns out, no, this has been a carryover from what we saw in training camp.
And you want to believe what you want to believe. Like, you that want too. The offense to be good. So, oh, it's no big deal.
Yeah, but you, because people are using the Panthers preseason game as that argument of, well, look, the struggles in training camp against the Panthers in the preseason game, against the Panthers in the inter-squad practices, like, it looked much better. CJ Stroud was back there forever with no pressure. He was finding guys that were open. And then now we get to the regular season and it's a different look.
And teams aren't blitzing much in the preseason. That's the other part of it. Whereas the Bucs, especially in the second half, the Bucs are bringing the house damn near every play.
Which, if you were a defense and you were facing the Texans,
that's all you do.
It's all you do.
Yeah, blitz them into oblivion. Absolutely.
Blitz. Did you say oblivion or Bolivian?
Oblivion.
Yeah. I like Bolivia better. That was the Mike Tyson thing. Remember Mike Tyson? Do you not remember Mike Tyson's post-fight?
I don't remember a lot of his quotes, no.
He said, what did he say? He said something like, he said something about Bolivia as opposed instead of oblivion. like beat him into Bolivia or something like that. Mike Tyson is the best post-boxing match. I can't believe I don't remember this guy.
He said, I guess I'm going to fade into Bolivia.
That's what it was. Yeah, I'm going to fade away into Bolivia instead of Oblivion. I love Mike Tyson so much. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Pete, you're in with the Jays. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I think what's hurting CJ is the fact that he set such a high bar his rookie season that a lot of fans are expecting the same. And he did slightly regress the year after. And then when they brought in the new OC, Kaley, you know, it's only making things worse. And if that offense is too complicated for them, then maybe what they need to do is simplify it. You know, do some backyard offense, take that stick and run it in the sand and say, okay, you run the post and I'm going to come to you. But does he need to do a better job on the field with reads? Yes. Does he need to know when to get rid of the ball instead of taking a sack? Yeah, probably so. But it's not just him. It's, you know, the offensive line needs to perform. Players need to be set in the right spots. And last I checked, CJ wasn't on that goal line defense when they gave up that touchdown to the Bucs at the end. So, I mean, nobody wants to be 0-2, but again, there's time to correct it.
Sure.
But if they go to Jacksonville and lay an egg, mm-hmm. or let's say they start the season 2-6, they do need to seriously consider making a change at coordinator. But anyway, that's what I got, guys. Y'all have a good day.
You got it, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the table that the Texans are 1-4 going into the bye week. You got to win the next two games. It puts you in a really...
Even just one loss is in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Just one.
But you're not going to beat the Ravens, so...
No, I mean,
that's
lose.
The point.
You lose. Yeah, I mean, I think we're all saying the same thing three different ways.
Yeah.
You lose one of the next two games. You're 1-4 going into a week five, an early week five.
And bye. I don't know if you guys agree with it, but to me, 1-4 going into the bye, season's over.
It'd be hard
I know
to
not. I know technically it's not, and I know like 3 years ago they had a 9-game win streak at one point. But
yeah.
I would look at the rest of the season as playoffs are dead.
I don't think you would look at any other team in the NFL at 1-4 and say they have a chance to win their division or make the playoffs. So I think that's fair to say that of the Texans. I think if the Texans are 1-4 and people are still saying that yeah the Texans are going to be fine, they're going to make the playoffs, I think there's too much homerism going on.
I mean, 9-8 could potentially get you there, probably 10-7, but let's just go 9-8. Then you're looking at an 8-4 finish. 8-4 finish. You got to win 67
if 9-8 gets you in, but if it's 10-7, I mean, jeez.
Yeah, a schedule that
you're looking at a 9-3 stretch.
Yeah, a schedule that includes the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Broncos, the 49ers.
Yeah, you start 1-4, you tank for
an
offensive lineman.
An offensive coordinator.
Which might be, yeah.
Tank for an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, which OC, what is Ryan, does Ryan Day really want to stay at Ohio State? No, I don't know if that's the answer. I'm just kidding kind of about that. 713-780-3776. A lot of people are saying the offensive line, the issue. Yeah, again, all of it. The answer is yes. Like, people are arguing, it's the offensive line. It's OC. It's play calling. It's skill outside of, it's all of it. That's the point. It's all of it. It's an operational failure. Well, it's only two games. You're right. Hopefully they fix it. But if they don't, just keep it in mind.
But that's where the offensive line, it's not getting fixed. Like, there are other things that can get fixed. CJ Stroud isn't always going to miss those throws, right, that he had in this game that he missed. CJ Stroud can get to the line of scrimmage better. He can operate
what
better.
What easy throws did he miss? I mean, he missed the end zone pass to Nico. The end zone pass to Nico, which wasn't a great play call from the one, in my opinion, IMO.
The one to Hutchinson that was over the middle of the field in the red zone that was like 4 yards behind him.
Okay, that was – he was probably late on a drag there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that which you know, maybe Hutchinson should have just stopped in a, you know, in
yeah,
an easy spot.
Yeah, I'm remembering the play now because I remember when they showed the view behind the quarterback. Hutchinson ran into the middle of a zone. To me, that was –
he could have stopped.
Yeah, that was a situation where the wide receiver should have stopped.
So I don't disagree.
That stuff can, like, the things that's not going well with CJ can get fixed for the most part, except for it can. It doesn't mean it's going to. But the offensive
I have a hard time having faith that the same guys that screwed it all up are suddenly going to have the answers to fix it.
I totally agree with you.
Well, yeah, we're sleeping on Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk's going
to
be.
He's a magic elixir to fix the everything we saw the last first 2 weeks?
What do they call that position in this offense? The slot position? They have like a fancy name for the slot in this offense. I forget what it's called, but it's like very important.
He's going to fix it for what? 3 weeks?
He's going to fix it. Yeah, I know, because he's going to get hurt again.
Like that's,
he's probably like 13 games in 2 years.
Look, yeah, I'll give him one more week. We'll give him one more week. If they play really good against the Jags, okay, cool. They're getting things back on track.
Can
if
I ask you a question?
They lay
that?
Another dud?
Not to take away from what we do every day, does anything matter the next 2 weeks? Like, isn't it really what matters the most is what happens against Baltimore?
No.
No, because they're going to get crushed. We know that.
I mean, 2-3 going into the bye, they're in a decent spot.
But if the offense is good for the next two games and then they score 9 points versus the Ravens, doesn't it feel like the 2 weeks that happened
before? I think that's
like,
more of a January conversation. Like, nothing would matter in the playoffs because they're going to run into the Ravens again. But as far as keeping their playoffs alive, they'd be back in it.
I mean, if you play good offense against Jacksonville and Tennessee and then, like, you have the struggle with Baltimore, it's like, okay, well, that's to be expected. It's only week five. Like, we still think the momentum's, you know, going in the right direction, all of that. No, I think that you can – I think context matters, obviously. Like, you know, if they have a good offensive day but they lose, like, 31-28, you know, like, context matters. For context matters here. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Tyler, you're in with the Jays. What's up, Tyler?
Oh, I just got back into Houston. I've been out of town, and I heard Joe on here. Didn't know he was on the radio anymore, but I just wanted to say, what's up with the Bears, man? Because your head coach sounds like he is in hell right now. Just wanted to hang up and listen.
It's very bad. It's way worse there than it is here. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's enough Chicago for the day.
That's why. Keep it short and sweet.
A lot of people in the text line saying the offensive line. Hey, look, I get it. Offensive line's dreadful. But here's the thing. If you were a quarterback, let's start there. If you were a quarterback and you had a terrible offensive line, and we touched this yesterday too. If you were a quarterback, you had a terrible offensive line, and you knew you were going to be pressured immediately, don't you have a plan in your mind just in case it actually does happen, that they're there immediately? Like, we talk about guys that are hot all the time. Like, so, yes, like, I understand the offensive line plays a struggle and they're allowing pressure right away, although the offensive line's actually been better this year than it was last year. But if it's there immediately as a quarterback, even quarterbacks with great offensive line should always have a plan for the worst-case scenario. I remember listening to the quarterback school guy, and quarterback school guys, like I teach all my quarterbacks, always have a plan for worst-case scenario. So if Stroud doesn't have a plan for worst-case scenario, it falls on Stroud. If Nick Caley doesn't have a plan for worst-case scenario, that falls on Nick Caley. Again, that's why it's the entire operation.
But I think there might have been a plan at one point, but where is the separation from the wide receivers in a hot situation? Who's Tank? Like, that's what Christian
Kirk...
Well,
I mean, it depends on the play.
But, like, for the most part, it felt like when there was issues, when Tank Dell was on the field, the first year and second year, the limited time they've been together, that when pressure was there, Tank was the safety valve. It's not going to be your tight end, Dalton Schultz. Nico's not... can't be that safety valve, it appears. For whatever reason, he's just not that. I don't know if there's also the position, there's the player on the outside that provides the safety valve for CJ. He hasn't really had a running back that's good out of the backfield catching the ball since he's been the quarterback here. Like, I there should be a plan.
I mean,
all of last season, this game, there's been no plan.
I think you're overrating the hot route a whole lot, because usually the hot route guy's wide open.
That's what, like,
you have to hit him.
I just don't feel like the guys were there. I know you said when you looked at the all-22, there's a couple.
Which could be Caley. That's the point. Like, yes, like, as an offensive coordinator, if you have a bad offensive line, you know you have a bad offensive line, and you try to scheme around a bad offensive line. It's what the hope was all offseason. So you have a plan in case the protection isn't there. And then also the long developing routes are annoying. If you know your quarterback's not going to have time to throw most of the time, why do you have so many long developing routes?
Great question.
There was one play in particular, and forgive me for not remembering exactly what part of the game it was, but Stroud obviously got sacked on the play. It happened a lot. But I remember looking at it. The only player that could be remotely considered like a hot route for Stroud to get rid of the ball quickly was Dalton Schultz out to the flat. Everyone else was going long to intermediate. But the problem was, like, Schultz didn't even have his head turned around by the point that Stroud was already engulfed by the Tampa Bay the defense. So, it, like, there are some plays, to Joe's point, where it feels like they're not equipping him for, we have a problem, how do I get out of it?
That's totally fine. Organizational incompetence. Mm-hmm. Branham, those plans aren't sustainable. If the protection is bad, the offense is going to be bad. I don't disagree with that. I really don't. I think that you're only going to be as good as your offensive line, mostly. You can still have competence, though, behind a bad offensive line. It might not be sustainable. It might not lead to great result. But competence versus incompetence, I think, is pretty obvious here. What possible plan is there when as soon as you get the ball, the D's already in your face? Well, you can do a lot of things. You can go quick game. You can go screens. You can run the ball more. You could stop. You know, shorten the drops. Hey, Stroud, get rid of it as quickly as you possibly can. Like, none of these are great plans. Again, kind of similar to the last text, but they're better than what they're doing. It's pick your poison here. What's the less worse option? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Eddie, you're in with the Jays. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good.
You know, I'm just trying to go back to Stroud's rookie season. I know they now have tape on him, but wasn't our O-line pretty bad back then, too? I tried looking online. They didn't talk about that much.
Yeah, they were bad. They were not talented, but they actually produced a little bit better than the last two offensive lines. Not a good offensive line, but better, although they didn't have as good of pieces somehow.
Gotcha. So that's the best O-line Stroud has had
in
his three seasons.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that.
Got it.
Yeah, I mean, he was only sacked 38 times.
I guess, what do you guys think happens, to CJ's contract situation if he's not able to produce some magic, albeit not everything his fault right now, as you guys have mentioned, throughout this segment. But just curious what your thoughts are there,
I think it's a really complicated question about CJ's contract, because the way the NFL works is that if you want somebody to be part of your organization for the long term, you're going to give them the most money that is going to be there. That whatever the contract is before CJ Stroud, he's going to beat it. And I wish the NFL didn't operate in that way. I wish that you could go more on a case-by-case basis and be more reasonable. But if he's going to be a member of the Texans for the long term, he's going to get $60 million.
Yeah. He's going to have to play better, or he's not getting it. Because if this is the production all year long, you can't justify.
I mean, I would love to see Nick Caserio do that if he's still the GM. But, like, they were probably having the same questions and conversations in Jacksonville, and Trevor Lawrence got $55 million.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to go on the franchise tag. It's the way that, it played out in Washington with Kirk Cousins is not the norm. It's not the way that teams operate. Hell, even the way the Cowboys have done it with Dak Prescott and waiting and waiting and waiting, it's not the norm. Like, CJ's either going to be here and he's going to get $60 million, or there's going to be really uncomfortable conversations with an agent that's going to be very unhappy.
Yeah. So the NFL Next Gen Stats does time to throw, which isn't a great stat, I don't think, to like weight pressure, because like mobile quarterbacks have an advantage here because they can, create time. This measures the time from the snap until there's pressure on you. They don't count sacks. For whatever reason. So this is the amount of time from the moment the ball is snapped until there is pressure on you. Stroud's actually 23rd in the NFL in time to throw. Now, a lot of that is his own credit because he's able to escape. He's able to buy time. But he's 23rd. He's 23rd, 2.89 seconds to throw. The worst is Jake Browning, 2.42.
Yeah.
Second worst is actually Pat Mahomes, 2.47. Kyler's at 2.55. Matthew Stafford at 2.55. Spencer Rattler's at 2.59. Does Stroud have more time to throw than all of us realize?
I mean, there were some
Next Gen says yes.
I will say there are plays in which he was back there with a comfortable pocket. And we talked about the PFF grades yesterday. Like there are some positive grades for the offensive line. It wasn't all bad.
Yeah.
He really didn't get sacked until the second half. Like, it really was. The pressure wasn't that bad in the first half.
Change of game plan for Tampa and Bulls.
And that's where my issue with Kaylee also goes into, is that's something that we saw with Bobby Slowick, was that in the second half, they would adjust to Bobby and Bobby couldn't punch back.
What's the common denominator, though?
Stroud.
713-780-3776. HRP listener. Vera, we'll hit you on the other side. D'Amico did say that Nick Kaylee improved in week two. Is that true? He also says, D'Amico, that he believes the Texans are actually close. He says they're actually close. Do we believe that they're actually close? Are we cashing or trashing that? 713 780-3776, 713-780-3776. We'll discuss that when we return. Oh, it's football season. Football season is the very, very best. I love me some football. I like baseball season, too. Not a whole lot of days left in the regular season. Stros have just 10 games left. But Underdog's the place to make picks on all of your sports. Football, of course, is king, but all the sports on Underdog, it's so easy, too. You can pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. Playing football, touchdowns, yards, interceptions, and more. Playing baseball, how about strikeouts? How about homers? How about hits, runs, and ribbies? You can play that too. Also, new to Underdog, you can pick teams now. You can pick whether or not your team's going to win or lose. Get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. Tonight, you can get some profit boost on WNBA action, baby. You can get some profit boost on a little FIFA, a little Champions League going on, and you can get your profit boost on Major League Baseball, too. Big one in Houston tonight, a little Astros-Rangers, DeGrom-Javier, the pitching matchup. DeGrom, you like this? Higher or lower 5.5 strikeouts? What you think? You can play that right now on Underdog. Javier, 4.5 strikeouts, higher or lower? Which side of the pick are you at on that? How about a little Jose Altuve? Hits, runs, ribbies, higher or lower 1.5. These are easy. So download the Underdog app now and play. Get your picks in. So much fun to be had. So much money to win. They got the drafts. They had the ladders. They had the streaks. The originals are still there. It's all great. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. Promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Houston's only FM sports stations. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.